Is everyone who goes to church a Christian? Real Life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Paula Wallace, who was traumatized by abuse at the age of 5 from someone who posed as a Christian.
You know, I hear a lot of people say that they are disenfranchised with the church, or they don't go to church anymore because they've been hurt, or there's nothing but hypocrites that go there. And I can understand how someone could get to that point if they've been to church, they've been hurt by someone, or they've seen someone in leadership do something, and they say, you know what, I'm not even going to go there, because they want to guard their heart. They want to protect themselves from going through something that would potentially hurt them again.
Yeah, no, it's true. I remember when I was an atheist, I did have this thought that all Christians were just hypocrites. You know, that I don't know why I was hurt by a few, but I just somehow just put it across to all Christians. And it's completely not right, because truthfully, there are Christians who are at church, a majority, but there are some who are not Christians. Now, some of those, you know, when you do get hurt by someone who calls themselves a Christian, they could be a Christian just sinning and making an error, because Christians aren't perfect, right?
Right.
So it could be that.
But and they could be getting sanctified, as we all are. None of us are perfect, so we might mess up, and God is trying to teach us and train us in that time.
Right. But the thing is that there are some people who go to church who are not really Christians. They're not really sold out to God, and they're actually there for the wrong purposes. It's good because, you know, Jesus talks about this concept of wolves in sheep's clothing. Like, what is that? You know, well, it's someone who is a wolf. Someone dresses up a certain way saying, hey, I'm a sheep. I'm just like you. But then they have ulterior motives.
Yeah. And so that's the hard part, is that whether someone says they're a Christian or not, the Bible says you will know them by their fruits. And so just because someone says, hey, I'm a Christian too, we have to know that, yes, it's important to guard our hearts and to look into these people, into these relationships, and to know, are they there for the right reasons or not? Sometimes people prey on churches. They'll go into churches for this reason. But honestly, God doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to forsake the assembling of people, of his people, because he wants us to have those strong relationships so that we can be there for one another when we go through hard times and troubles. And he wants us to be the church. What does that mean? We go to church to be love, not just to get love, but to be love to others, because hurting people hurt people, and we want to be there to love people, to help people. And so if you've been hurt, ask God to heal you, but don't give up on the church. Give it a chance and know that there may be wolves in sheep's clothing, but there are true Christians that go to church. Let's hear from Paula Wallace after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Kidstown Thornton and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Kidstown Thornton offers convenient drop-in childcare right when you need it, even a drop-in preschool program. Conveniently located at the corner of East 120th Avenue and Claude Court near TCF Bank, Kidstown Thornton has fun, age-appropriate activities for children all the way from 1 year to 13 years. Call them now at 303-974-5212 and get $10 off your first visit. That's 303-974-5212.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
We have Paula Mosier Wallace joining us, and she suffered from severe PTSD and complex trauma due to severe physical and sexual abuse, which started at the age of 2 years old.
Wow.
She hit rock bottom at 34 and tried to take her life. So let's welcome to the show, Paula. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes. Now, I understand that your parents were actually missionaries and you were living in another country, And at age 2, your mom was pregnant. She had some situations happen to her where she needed to come back to the States, to America, to get some care for her as she was pregnant. And you were sent off to someone to be watched because your dad had so much going on in his life with the other kids that he couldn't do it on his own. Can you tell me about that situation and what happened?
Well, I was given to some ladies in the church for 6 months. I lived with them in the church community because it was in the jungles in South America. There were meals together. There was church together. So I saw my family on a regular basis. I just didn't get to go home with them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the severity of the discipline, I have witnesses that saw them spank me till I quit crying. Mm-hmm. And anytime I wouldn't anticipate what they wanted me to do, then I would get disciplined for that in a severe manner. So putting puzzle pieces together with the damage, with the PTSD, with the stuff that has come up over the years, reconstructing what has been a part of my story has taken a long time and a lot of work. But the amazing thing is that the story doesn't end with that, obviously. It ends with redemption. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to go back and tell those stories. When I was 5, I was raped by a man who was a part of the church. That was obviously traumatizing, but not as much as it would have been, because now I just knew that men hurt you too.
So at 5 years old, you were at church and there was someone, a predator that was there actually. And what happened? Did you end up telling your parents, or what happened to you from that point on? Did you close off from other people?
Yeah, I just shut down. I had already been trained not to show emotion with the severe discipline and abuse when I was 2. And so I knew that I had been hurt, obviously, very badly as a small child, and I had to continue living with the people hurting me. And so I didn't want to tell anybody about the rape because I might have to go live with him. And obviously, that's not a true statement, because my parents would never have made me go live with him if they had known about it. But as the broken little girl, I didn't know that. Mm. I truly believed that it was my lot in life to live with and be hurt by people. And the rape at 5 was just letting me know there was a new way to get hurt, and I might be stuck with that if anyone ever knew. Mm. And so I hid that. I did not tell my parents till I was 16.
Wow.
And lived with a lot of pain and damage, but basically handled it by just shutting down completely and not letting myself feel anything, not dealing with it. And later on, when I got asked, well, are you sure it even happened? Are you sure you didn't dream it or make it up or read it somewhere? Like I had assumed somebody else's memories, and went back through, okay, well, let's find out. Let's see if there's other proof, because it seems pretty clear to me, because I never forgot the 5-year-old rape. But then in talking to my sisters, they remembered finding 3 pairs of my underwear covered in blood where I had hidden them as a child, but they were young and innocent and didn't know what they were seeing. And they couldn't figure out how I had gotten tree sap or something covering 3 pairs of underwear. That was pretty bad. But then as an adult, when I told them what had happened, they're like, oh my goodness, we would have known that if we had understood what we were seeing.
That's horrible. And, you know, there are people listening even now who have gone through types of abuse like that. And it's just hard to even imagine a child going through this. Now, I understand at a young age, you received Jesus as your savior. You believed in God. But there are a lot of people who would be like, you know what, God can't be real if this happened to me, or they would hate God. What were you going through as a child, or what emotions did you feel toward God, being that you went through abuse at 2 and rape at 5, and then it actually continued through your life? Where were you at with God?
Well, he was the only one that I felt had not hurt me. Like, people hurt me. My family, whether it was intentional or circumstantial, had abandoned me. I had been hurt by the people I was with. I'd been hurt by people in the church. There's, you know, a lot more complicated stuff that all goes with that. But God was the person I could talk to, that I could communicate with. A lot of trauma victims have a secret friend or a pretend person that helps them survive emotionally and internally.
Yeah.
And in my world, God was that to me. And so I never questioned that he was with me. I never questioned that he loved me. I had some warped perspectives about what that love would look like, because my human father loved me, and yet he had given me to people that hurt me horribly. And of course, he never knew what was being done to me. Yeah. It wasn't happening in front of him.
Right.
And my mom was out of the country. But a loving father evidently didn't have a problem with you getting hurt really badly. So I could see God as a God that could love martyrs or people being tortured for their faith. That side of it, I understood really well. I didn't understand very well the love that healed or that wanted to restore or that wanted good things for me. I just thought I was born to be a martyr, which is twisted thinking that comes from a very broken little girl. And it's been amazing in my healing journey to actually learn that the God I knew loved me actually wanted healing and health and wellness and beauty and love in my life, not just the fact that I chose him even when it hurt.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot more to your testimony than this, because before it got better, it got worse. And we're going to have you share that on our next show about how things really got you down to rock bottom, because you ended up in an abusive marriage after that, and it was just one thing after another, sicknesses, people dying around you, car accidents. It just seemed like a black cloud was around you or something. And we're going to find out how you went from hopelessness to hope and how you got the right perspective of God. So we're going to pray for our guests, and we'll have you on our next show.
Thank you.
Well, Father God, I think that this is a story that really reaches down, and it just can make someone sick. You know what I mean? That this was existing is just so deceptive. It's not saying that this is happening at every church or anything like that, but it's sad that it was happening in this particular instance. And Father, we're just lifting anyone who's listening right now, saying, gosh, you know, that was me. I went through trauma in my life, and all I knew what to do was to be numb and to do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. And just to hope maybe it would go away.
Yeah.
But the truth is, you've got to get the healing, and you've got to get the healing inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
So Father, right now, I'm lifting up our audience as someone who may have been dealing with some type of abuse, sexual, physical. And Lord God, I pray that that healing process would begin right now. And we know, Lord God, that you're the one who would never hurt us, and that who's desiring to protect us and to be with us. So Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. We come to you. We give our hearts to you, Lord. Mm-hmm. We say, Jesus, mm-hmm. if you're real, come inside,
mm-hmm.
live inside of us, begin to bring that healing mm-hmm. right now to someone who's listening, the healing that makes us whole, because
yes.
your desire is to make us whole as if those things never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we ask for this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please join us next time to hear the rest of Paula's story. You're listening to Real Life.